Yikes. Royals lose again. Oh, boy. A fifth straight loss, my friends. And another one where the Royals' offense just was not up to the task. All right, let's talk about it. Phone lines are open. 913-586-7965. Again, that's 913-586-7965. You can also shoot me a text if you are so inclined. Our text line number is the same as our phone number. 913-586-7965. It feels like it's time to panic, right? Now, that's not a question. I understand. Yes, I was in the building. I'm one of the 22,000 that were here to see the Royals drop game one of this three-game series to the San Francisco Giants, a game in which the Royals were 2-1 favorites to win. The Royals are the better team. The Royals had the better starting pitcher. The Royals are facing the reigning Cy Young Award winner coming up on Sunday as Blake Snell makes the start in the finale. So now the Royals have Seth Lugo going opposite Blake Snell. It's not as if that one is a wrap, not at all. Brady Singer on the mound tomorrow, but you felt the best. I'll speak for myself. I felt best about tonight. So, yeah, I understand. It feels like it's time to panic. Because an offense that performs like this will obviously lead to an early October exit, right? But it's not October, right? I mean, yeah, no, it's not. It's the 20th of September. And Detroit lost as well tonight. So the possibility of this Royals team missing out on October, I don't think it's time to panic about that. So it feels like it's time to panic, and yet it's not October. Your magic number actually went down tonight because of that Detroit loss. The finish line, the postseason, actually, it's closer. I know it feels like, again, I'm not telling you how to feel. I'm telling you how I feel. It feels like it's time to panic, and yet there's absolutely no reason for me to panic. Now, if you want to panic, you go right ahead. Royals have 8 games to play. They're 2 games in front of Detroit, 1 game in front of Minnesota. Now, the 1-game lead over Minnesota, okay, you want to get worried about possibly playing Houston instead of Baltimore in the wild card series? Okay, yeah. Again, sure. You want to panic about that? Okay. I'm not going to fight you. And I'm going to have a tough time panicking about October baseball. You know, you're going to be hard-pressed to get me panicked about the opponent in the postseason. The fact that we're talking postseason, man, is still wild to me. But you're 2 games up on Detroit, protecting that playoff spot. Right, if you're worried about possibly losing that playoff spot, okay, yeah, you should panic. I'm not. I'm not worried that the Royals are going to gag this away. 2 games up on Detroit, but because they own the tiebreaker, it's a 3-game lead, basically. And again, the Royals' magic number is down to 6. Any combination of Royals' victories and Tiger defeats that add up to 6. And that invitation, you can go ahead and RSVP for the postseason. So again, the phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7965. I'm happy to talk about all aspects of this game, this season, this team. But let me say this real quick. For those that are fearful about how this team will fare in October, to me, that fear is ridiculous. to panic about the possibility of an early October exit, that to me is bananas. Not just because it's only September. No, I understand looking ahead to October and having expectations and wanting the boys to win the whole darn thing. But if your worry, your panic stems from a place of, oh, this team will never win the World Series, that to me is silly. Let's just leave it at silly so I don't insult anybody. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7965. That's the phone number. That's our text line number. We'll get to your phone calls as the Royals drop Game 1 to the Giants here at Kauffman Stadium. Only two home games remain in the regular season. We'll talk about Brady Singer and Seth Lugo coming up in the next few games, but I want to hear from you, and we'll do that after this.
You're listening to Burns Postgame Show.
Witt dives, smothers it on the grass, to his feet, throw to first. Oh!
Your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Welcome to your new home for Royals baseball.
Fastball drilled high in the air, deep to left field. Reynolds to the track. He turns around. It's out of here. The first inning rocket from Bobby Witt Jr. And the Royals have a 1-0 lead, two batters into the game. Home run number 31, RBI number 100 for Bobby Witt Jr. in 2024.
Welcome to 96.5 The Fan. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Royals drop the opener to the Giants, 2-1 the final score. As promised, we go right to the phone calls. We start off out in Olathe. Elliot, you're hitting leadoff tonight, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Frustrating game tonight. Frustrating our hitting with runners in scoring position. But I just wanted to ask a question because I haven't heard much about Hunter Harvey. Do we know, like, what really his problem is, or do you expect him to pitch again this season if we make the playoffs or just in general? Thanks for what you do.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call, Elliot. No, nothing new on Hunter Harvey. I wouldn't expect him to pitch until ALCS at the earliest. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Matt in Overland Park. Matt, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, thanks. I love the show. I was just watching tonight from Manhattan, Kansas, and one thing I noticed, I think this team just looks like they've lost their confidence at the plate. I mean, you got guys going up there, we're check swinging. They just look like they're not going up with a plan. 0-2 count, and we're not guarding the zone. And then when we strike out, we're moping back to the dugout. We're talking back to the refs. I just kind of saw some moping out there today, and I don't know why we're moping. We're in the playoff race. I think we need to just get some positivity back. We need someone to come in and liven up this locker room, I think. I don't know, just curious about your thoughts on that.
Appreciate the phone call, Matt. Yeah, listen, the Michael Massey check swing dribbler to the pitcher with a man on and two outs in the eighth inning, yeah, that didn't scream confident hitter or, well, let me take that. That didn't scream... Yeah, I think that's fair. A confident hitter, right? A guy that, and let's also acknowledge, right, Taylor Rogers, not the easiest dude to pick up, right? That submarine Dan Quisenberry stuff that he's bringing out of that Giants bullpen. I'll agree with you on that plate appearance there. But the gripe and the home plate umpire, if you're talking about Tommy Pham, I'm with him. That first inning punch out, that was a questionable call. Mopin, I don't know. I guess I would need to know exactly who you're talking about. Not saying that this team is immune to moping. No, I've seen players mope over the course of this season. That didn't strike me tonight. Not saying that it didn't happen. It just didn't jump out at me as I'm watching the game. If it did you, let me know. Who is it? Who are we talking about? Who's lacking confidence? How does it get fixed? What's your ideas? 913-586-7965. Let's go to Gina in South Kansas City. Gina, nice to hear from you as always. How are you?
Hi, I'm Sign Vern. I got a question. Is Vinny down in the dugout with them?
I believe so.
Is there like something missing? A spark is missing. The spark is. It's hard to tell.
No.
Because I'm thinking you can't just blame it on Vinny. Okay, it's that happened. It's done. Get over it. Yeah. You're going for the playoffs. That's the biggest accomplishment this club has done.
Sure,
so they need to just kind of get whatever's going on in their head. They need to just kind of let it go.
Yeah.
So these are big games coming up.
No doubt about it. Yeah. Listen, they've been big games for about 2 months now. You know, every game that a lot of these guys play in is the biggest game of their lives. And, you know, we talk about who needs to step up. Gina, thanks for the phone call. It's one of the guys that are playing in the biggest games of their lives. That's who you need to pick it up. Because Yuli Gurriel is doing all you can ask of him. Bobby, tonight, another three-hit game. Salvi takes the Ofer. You need the Massey, the Isbell, the Mike Cal, the MJ. You need one of those young Royals to find some confidence, to find a heater. And I think the best way to give them some confidence was get a win. You know, by hook or by crook, I don't care how you do it. Get a win. And, you know, the idea of replacing Vinny Pasquantino, the next man up, stuff's easier said than done. But if you've stayed dialed into this team, now 154 games into the season, you know that this team is centered around a few things. Elite starting pitching, elite defense, extraordinary base running, and for the lion's share of the season, the fourth standard, the fourth constant on this team was their ability to hit with runners in scoring position. And while the entire team was able to boast that batting average, best in baseball, best average in baseball when it comes to hitting with runners in scoring position, yes, that was a Royals stat. But if you dive a bit deeper into that statistic, you'll see Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny doing a lot of the heavy lifting. Coming through with a large majority of those big knocks in big spots. And you look at the damage done in those big spots, there weren't many players in the sport doing it better than Vinny Pasquantino. So when you lose him, it's not as if there's someone else performing at the level or capable of performing at the level over a elongated stretch the way that Vinny had. It's going to take multiple guys every single night, and that's what you were seeing. Once that seven-game losing streak ended, you were seeing Yuli and Tommy Pham come through with big knocks. Adam Frazier, Kyle Isbell, Hunter Renfroe coming through with big knocks. It's not happening of late. But I don't think the Vinny injury is just as simple as get over it. Because I don't think the players are sulking over the absence of Vinny. But the production of Vinny just can't be replaced. It's like saying, hey, Seth Lugo went down. Move on. Hey, Cole Reagans went down. Next man up. No, that's silly. There's no one that can replace Cole Reagans. There's nobody that can replace Bobby or Salvi or Lugo or Vinny Pasquantino. Now, as I say that, is that going to preclude them from making it to October? No, I don't believe so. But as I mentioned a few weeks ago when I was on with Cody and Gold, and you know, they were wondering, hey, did we make too much out of the Vinny Pasquantino injury? You know, when the offense started to turn it around after that seven-game losing streak, I was asked, hey, did we make too much out of that Pasquantino injury? And my answer was no, because once the opposing pitching improves, you'll see the glaring hole left by the Pasquatch. So sure, come October, come the ALDS, Yeah, yeah. The absence of Vinny Pasquantino could lead to your early exit, sure. But is it going to stop you from making it to the postseason? I don't believe so. So again, I know it feels like it's time to panic because this type of an offensive performance will knock you out of the postseason before you even know what happened. But it's not the postseason yet. 8 games remain. And over the course of those 8 games, guys like Massey and Izzy and Mike Hell and MJ have the opportunity to find that confidence, which can come with one swing of the bat. Now, one swing of the bat is all it took for Mike Moustakas in 2014. That game-winning home run in the ALDS. His career was never the same. So I know it feels like it's time to panic because a punchless offense will knock you out of October, but it's not October yet. And again, Detroit lost. So the possibility of missing out on October, there's no need to panic about that. At least I don't believe that there is. Still 2 up on Detroit, which is basically a 3-game lead because of the tiebreaker. Your magic number to make the postseason remains at 6, or actually falls to 6 because of Detroit's loss earlier tonight. Gene, always nice hearing from you. Thank you very much. 913-586-7965. Let's go to Sean and Lee Summit. Sean, you're next up on the postgame show on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. So it was kind of a bittersweet night for me. It was my son's second game. First one was just me and him, but first inning, we got a foul ball in our area, and a gentleman gave him the ball. So, I mean, it started out really great, you know, with that going on. Just really kind of real disappointing, just the offense, just not getting it done. Great start, great pitching, but, you know, I don't know. I like your confidence, but it's just real, real disappointing.
Yeah, and listen, thanks for the phone call. Again, I acknowledge that it feels like it's time to panic. I get it. But the calendar and the math and Detroit's pitching and the Twins, there's just, I don't feel them breathing down my neck. Maybe you do, but I don't. Now, I'll say this, Sean, 100% right about the pitching. I mean, is Michael Wacha not just a grown freaking man? I mean, that first inning, I can't tell you how many young pitchers, and I know Michael Wacha's not young, but I can't tell you how many young pitchers I've seen that would have completely fallen apart in that first inning. I mean, it's 93 degrees, humid as all get out, an 11-pitch battle with Mark Canha, the second batter of the game, an 11-pitch plate appearance that ends in a walk after the leadoff man got on a little duck snort to center. Oh, then the run comes in on a swing and bunt. Oh, I would want to puke if I'm Michael Wacha. But he locked it in, blew 94 past Patrick Bailey, and got the next batter to ground out to the right side. Man, how about Michael Wacha in the fourth inning? A leadoff triple to Elliot Ramos, and he never moves off of third base. Ground out, punch out, punch out. Michael Wacha is a freaking stud. Man, do I enjoy watching him. Just the professionalism on the field, off the field, before his starts, in between his starts, in the clubhouse. Man, it is just being around him this year, it is absolutely no surprise why he has put together the career that he has over the past decade plus. Now, I understand he's got to dip his toe back into the free agent water this offseason, but man. He certainly has earned every single penny of that contract. Michael Wacha lowers his ERA to 3.28 after tonight's 5 2/3 innings of two-run baseball. That 3.28 ERA is top 20 in Major League Baseball. Royals lose 2-1. They're 10 games above 500 with a record of 82-72. Let's go to Buzz in Lawrence. Buzz, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Well, I want to preface what I'm about to say. I want to let you know I'm super excited for 4:10 tomorrow. Watching a game like this, it just I want him to get back out on that field so I can just stop thinking about this one, man.
I'm with you on that.
But what I will say, I've been locked in all year, man, and this was my most frustrating game, at least offensively. I came into the ball game. We're facing this guy, Mason Black. He's a rookie, ERA over 7, and my mindset was, hey, this is the game. We turn this offense around. I mean, you talked about it on the pregame.
Yep.
We need that confidence going into October, and man, I thought this was the one. So every out was stinging me, man. And
they were stinging the ball too.
They were
hitting,
man,
some laser beams out there, but just right at dudes. And I know people roll their eyes when they hear media members and baseball players say it, but I mean, you mentioned it, Buzz. If you're locked in on the game, you saw Bobby's 385-foot blast to right center field. I mean, there were shots all over the place that off the bat, you're like, there we go. There's the extra bit. Oh, no, it's right. Oh, it's right to the outfielder. Man, it was painful.
And I saw Massey about tie that game up too, man. I mean, that hurts. But I mean, even more pain comes in the ninth, man, when they try to give you the game with two walks and a bobbled ball at shortstop.
Yep.
It's frustrating. But like I said, 4-10 tomorrow. Let's go. Magic number went down tonight. You can guarantee I'll be locked in tomorrow, man. Go Royals.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you this. I never gave up hope on tonight. And again, I understand, why would you, right? I mean, I would like to think that people out there listening are saying, well, why would you give up? Right? This team has earned waiting it out to the 27th out, right? We've just watched this team overcome so much in game and over the course of the season. But I was taking a little quick poll of the press box. Oh, is this game over? Is this game over? Hey, you think the game's over? Asking people around the, after the sixth inning, after the Royals fell behind 2-0, asking everyone, is the game over? To a man, to a everyone, yes, game over, game over. I couldn't say it. I couldn't fix my lips to say that the game was over, especially once I saw Camilo Doval warming up in that Giants bullpen. Because the former All-Star closer has been anything but this season. And yeah, Buzz, you saw that in the ninth inning. Back-to-back walks. And then Royals fans did that thing where they make 22,000 sound like 44,000. And this place was rocking. Two on, nobody out. Adam Frazier goes down swinging through a slider. And then, yeah, Buzz, how about that? Mikel Garcia grounds into what I thought was going to be an inning-ending, game-ending double play. But Giant shortstop Tyler Fitzgerald fumbles the transfer late on the throw, and everyone's safe. Bases juiced, one out. Garrett Hampson sack fly to the opposite field, and then Tommy Pham goes down to end the game, swinging through a slider. Appreciate the phone call. It opens up a phone line for you. 913-586-7965. Again, that's 913-586-7965. And as Buzz said, also, man, Buzz, great call. 4:10 tomorrow, the first pitch, as that game's been bumped up a couple of hours because of some poor weather coming into Kansas City later on tomorrow night. All right, we go back to the phone calls, and Spencer and Shawnee, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
What's up, Vern? Long time no talk. First off, who did we have on the bench for Frazier and Hampson for both of those at-bats? Did we have anybody to pinch hit there?
The two guys on the bench were Paul DeJong and Freddie Fermin.
I mean, I know Freddie is – both of those guys have been really struggling of late, but, man, you got – Garrett Hampson, man. I mean, that's been a guy that's been struggling all year long. You really got to look at that.
He was like an inch away from winning the game for you.
I mean,
he laced that thing down the third baseline. You're going to say he shouldn't have been – oh, come on.
That's a fair ball, by the way.
Well, then he won the game. What are you saying he shouldn't be in there for?
Well, we didn't win the game. We got a loss, and here we are. But anyway, this whole fan sentiment is kind of, I think, what the issue is with the Royals offense right now. I think we need a Jose Guillen moment. I think we need someone in our clubhouse to wake these guys up. If you've seen the Kobe gif, soft like Charmin, that's how we're freaking hitting right now. And we need to wake the hell up. You're going to be either sitting here on the sidelines, or you're going to step up and get a hit. That's all it comes down to at this point of the game. And it's been really frustrating on how anemic our offense has been lately. And someone's going to have to step up in the locker room and call people out. I don't know who.
Like
who
what? Don't give me an example. Like, what are you talking? Because right now it sounds like you're just reading off a Gatorade commercial. Like, what do you want to hear? What needs to be said inside that clubhouse? And who are we calling out in particular?
Let's look at who's in our starting lineup, right? Like, we have multiple guys that we picked
up. Who do you want to stand up? What's the message? Explain what needs to happen in this clubhouse of grown men.
So I think that Salvador Perez needs to step up and be like, hey, guys, do you want to play? Do you want to win? Or do you not? I mean, along those lines, man. I mean, come on. You know what I'm talking about. Like, I can't give the freaking speech that Salvi's going to give, but you know what I'm talking about. It has to be one of those red-ass
speeches. But no, but what you're saying then is that clubhouse is unaware that they don't know whatever that was that you want Salvi to scream at them. You think a clubhouse
man.
That has a World Series champion in Robbie Grossman, a guy that's been to the World Series in Hunter Renfroe, a guy that was in the World Series in Tommy Pham, a former World Series MVP in Salvi, a guy on the Hill tonight that's been to a World Series in Michael Wacha. I mean, do you think it's they're unaware inside that clubhouse of the gravity?
No, they're very aware, but you need that wake-up moment. Like, if you keep going how you're going right now, it's not going to go out well. I mean, because we're not stepping up. We're not stepping up, man. I mean, there has to be a moment, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work, but you have to have someone who calls people out, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
So you're calling out Salvi, then. So you're saying this is on Salvi, the captain.
No. Come on. I'm not calling out Salvi. I'm just saying there needs to be a leader that's going to step up and be that red ass. Maybe it's Tommy Pham. You saw what Tommy Pham did with the White Sox earlier this season, and he had that interview
They stunk.
You
didn't do it. Yeah.
You saw what happened. But you need someone that's going to ruffle the feathers, because what's going on right now is not working. And
so you would have – so now you're on to Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham standing up in that clubhouse and yelling at Lugo and Bobby and Salvi. He's yelling at Wacha and guys that have been here all year, telling them what this team
not
needs
Lugo.
To do.
He's not yelling at anybody on the pitching staff. We know the pitching staff's doing fantastic right now.
Leave before this – clubhouse.
What's that?
I appreciate the phone call. I got what you're after, Spencer. Tommy Pham stands up in the clubhouse, says, would all the pitchers please leave? Would Seth Lugo and the starting staff please leave? All right, everyone else. Salvi, I'm going to start screaming, but I'm not. You know, I mean, what are we talking about here, guys? You're telling me that Spencer and Shawnee is more acutely aware of the magnitude of these games, more so than Michael Massey, MJ Melendez, Kyle Isbell, and all the other guys that have been waiting their entire life for this moment. Now, I'm not going to fight you if you want to say that they're gripping the bat a little bit too tight. Okay. And you know what? Maybe one of them is the type that if you get in their tail. But I just think that's all. I just think it's a touch silly. For a guy that's watched every game, that has watched Michael Massey spike the helmet like he did back on, when did he hit that big double play? Yeah, back on Tuesday. Michael Massey cares. Michael Massey understands what's on the line. MJ Melendez understands what's at stake. Again, these guys grinded through a 106-loss season last year. They understand. As much as a 24, 25, 26-year-old big leaguer in his second or third big league season, for as much as they can understand, trust me, they understand. Let's go to JP in Overland Park. JP, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals drop the opener to the Giants 2-1. Go ahead.
Yeah, first off, I agree with you, man. I mean, I think all they need to do is, like, you know, fold their underwear a different way or something. They don't need to get a talking.
Now we're talking.
Uh, but so, I mean, I was up there. We were all going bonkers on that you know, last stand there. And I was, you know, unaware because they don't show anything on the Jumbotron. What was that review about? Because, like, if it was about the foul ball, like, what do you do? If it's fair, then what even happens at that point?
Yeah. The explanation is the umpires on the field came to the headset to verify that a batted ball that first lands in front of the umpire, whether or not it is reviewable, and it was indeed non-reviewable. The only time that instance is reviewable is if the batted ball lands behind the umpire. So Q asked him to challenge it. The umpires got together and said, hey, can we challenge this? I don't think so. Let's double check with New York. New York said, no, you cannot challenge it. Game continued. Sack fly Garrett Hampson. Punch out Tommy Pham. Royals lose 2-1.
All right. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay. It's like, even what happened? Can you review it? If it was reviewable? Like, what if they say it was a hit? Like, and then what? You know?
Well, then they place the runners where they believe they would have been. So Hampson likely would have been on second. You know, Garcia would have been on third. Two runs would have come in to score, and it would have been a tie game.
Yeah, could have been cool.
That would have been very cool. Yes, that'd have been very cool.
We'd have thanks for the explanation,
we'd have much
man.
More fun. Hey, no problem. Thanks for listening, JP. Nice to hear from
you. Yeah.
Let's go to John in Overland Park. Let's stay in OP. John, what's happening, buddy?
Vern. There's so much of what I'm hearing tonight is just driving me crazy. But I think, and partially, I've been there too. I think the word panic needs to be thought about a little bit, because honestly, if we're all true, we've been in panic mode for the last month or so, right? So the Royals will lose 3 out of 4 and we'll panic. They'll win a game and we'll feel better. And this is another one of those stretches. So I'm panicking. Personally, I'm panicking a little bit, but I'll panic until we win a game. And I think we're going to win a game tomorrow. And I'll be there tomorrow. I'm going to the game, and I'm feeling hopeful and feeling good. But I keep everything in perspective that, my God, there's 8 games to go. We've got a 2-game lead. I think I'm not going to think about what has to happen for us to lose it. All I know is that we've still got really winnable games ahead of us, and we're in control. And yes, the guys might be gripping the bat tight. I think they are. I think that's normal. But I also think we've got great pitching, which has shown itself over the last week. And we've also got some mediocre bats besides Salvi and Bobby, and that has shown itself over the last couple of weeks. And just hold on tight. Hold on tight. It's going to get better, I hope. But, you know,
and then it's going to get bumpy in October.
Wins. Say it again.
Thanks for the phone. I said, yeah, it's going to get better. And then once October gets here, it's going to get bumpy. It's going to stay bumpy because that's what October is all about. John, thanks for the phone call. Let me shine a light on Yuli Gurriel real quick. Now, it's wild, but I said as much back on Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, if I could dream up a scenario, man on third, 2 outs, yeah, I want Bobby at the plate. I can't have Bobby, I want Salvi at the plate. I can't have Salvi, I want Yuli Gurriel at the dish right now. I think Yuli Gurriel might be the third best bat in this lineup right now, which, whatever, you know, that's fine. I don't know if that's fine in October, but that's fine for September. Yuli's made 10 starts with the Royals. In those 10 starts, he's hitting .393. He's driven in 5 runs, he's scored 6 runs, and he has as many walks as strikeouts. Yuli Gurriel has been sensational. My game notes are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know when call Jay's Southland Tow. Let's head up to Cameron, talk with Matt. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead, Matt. Oh, we lost Matt. Darn it. How about Brandon in Independence? You're on the postgame show after the Royals drop game one to the Giants, 2-1. Brandon, what's happening?
Hey, what's happening, Vern? First of all, I want to say thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener. Love the show. I love how you orchestrated it. You know, I'm going to piggyback off some of the other callers you had before. I'm not really, like, pissed off, like, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? But, like highly, like, disappointed, you know? And I think a lot of my disappointment comes from the fact, don't get me wrong, it's baseball, it's a long season, injuries happen. But, like, whenever Vinny went down, I just, like, man, I just, like, we really, really are missing Vinny right now. And
sure.
I'll listen to what you have to say off the air, Vern. Thanks for taking my call, buddy.
No, you're 100% right. The numbers, yeah. I mean, since Vinny went down, the Royals' offense is one of the three or four worst units in all of Major League Baseball. Well, since Vinny went down, the Royals are averaging almost two fewer runs per game. Vinny went down, the Royals were hitting like 300 with runners in scoring position. Since they're hitting just barely above the Mendoza line. No doubt about it, they miss Vinny Pasquantino. Any team would miss Vinny Pasquantino. Again, you know, the statistic I kept going back to with Vinny was two outs with a man in scoring position. Vinny had the sixth best OPS in Major League Baseball. The five guys ahead of him were either a former MVP like Cody Bellinger or were future Hall of Famers like Bryce Harper and Juan Soto and Jose Ramirez and Salvador Perez. The Phillies aren't replacing Bryce Harper. The Guardians aren't replacing Jose Ramirez. The Yanks aren't replacing Juan Soto, and the Cubs can't replace Cody Bellinger. You can't replace Vinny Pasquantino. But what you can do is, well, like John in Overland Park said, you can hang on. You can, and I believe will, get to October. Still, I believe you can win the wild card series. ALDS, that's going to be difficult. But it's baseball, right? By the time the ALDS starts, which, as a matter of fact, is 2 weeks from today, or 2 weeks from tomorrow, 2 weeks from Saturday, when the ALDS starts, who knows how Michael Massey's feeling, how Tommy Pham's feeling, Michael Garcia, Freddie Fermin, MJ Melendez. Again, 2 weeks, 14 days, you know how quickly things can change in this game. 14 days from now, Bobby Witt Jr. could be on one of those heaters. Bobby stays on a heater. What am I talking about? The guy's hitting 334 for the season. Bobby's unbelievable, man. 3-for-4 tonight, his Major League most 20th game with at least three hits. 20th time this season. He's only the fifth player in franchise history to have 20 such games in a single season. 3-for-4 today. 204 base hits on the season. The eighth highest single season total in Royals franchise history. Our nightly Wit Watch is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Visit communityamerica.com to join. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Quick timeout. We'll head inside that Royals clubhouse and get right back to your phone calls after this. Quick timeout.
You're listening to Vern's postgame show.
Wit dives, smothers it on the grass to his feet, throw to first. Oh, he got him! What a play! Bobby Witt Jr.
On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's postgame show on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
2-1 the final score. Royals drop game one to the Giants here at Kauffman Stadium. Only two games remain on the home schedule, at least as far as the regular season is concerned. I have two tickets to Sunday's game, the home finale. You can win these tickets tomorrow on the On Deck Show. Be listening. 3 o'clock. That's when the show starts right here on 96.5 The Fan. So be listening for your chance to win those tickets coming up tomorrow. Prior to game two with Brady Singer on the bump. Yeah, Royals trailed this one 1-0 right out of the gate. Michael Wacha gives up a first inning run. It would remain 1-0 Giants until the sixth. That's when they put another run on Michael Wacha and ending his day. Angel Zerpa comes in and finishes off the sixth, retires the side in the seventh. John Schreiber, a 1-2-3 eighth. Steven Cruz, 0 in the ninth. And the Royals had a chance in the bottom of the ninth. Down 2-0, back-to-back walks to open up the inning. One comes in to score, but just shy of tying it up, and they fall 2-1. Royals are 10 games above 500. The magic number is down to 6, as the Tigers lost tonight. The tragic number for the division titles down to 1, so congrats to Cleveland on winning the division. The tragic number as far as the top wild card spot, thus a home field advantage in the wild card series, as the Royals are chasing Baltimore. Orioles won tonight, so the tragic number is now 4. Any combination of 4 Orioles wins or 4 Royals losses, and that top wild card dream is dashed. Let's go back to the phone calls. Let's head up to Des Moines. Talk with Chris. You're on 96.5 The Fan. Chris, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Vern. I always enjoy your show.
Thanks.
A couple observations on tonight. I came down to watch the game, and I've seen this the last couple games. Our plate appearances, and we go back to missing Vinny. And what Vinny did so well is he worked the pitcher. Now, he'd get 8, 9, 10 pitches every time he came up to the plate. And tonight I was shocked. I looked up, I think it was the fifth inning, and Black had only thrown like 68 pitches, something like that.
Yeah, it just seemed like
we weren't working him, and we were anxious to get up there and pop out. It just seemed like we were pressing so hard, and I like your term, kind of gripping the bat. It just seemed like we lost a little bit of that. And I saw that in the last couple of games as well. I'd be interested in your opinion on that, as to just how be a little more patient and pick your pitch and follow. You know, a quality of the bat isn't necessarily hit, but it's working the pitch count up, especially on a night when the humidity and the heat out there was tremendous. And Wacha, what a soldier.
He's a stud.
He's battled, and starting pitching is not our issue. And even our bullpen here the last 5 games has not been that bad. It's just we're pressing at the plate. We need a Vinny-style approach at the plate. I'd be anxious to hear your comment on that. Thanks, Vern.
Well, you're right about the bullpen. Statistically, the Royals' bullpen's been top 10 in baseball. Since Vinny went down, top 10 in baseball in the month of September. Michael Wacha, yeah, you're right. He takes the loss tonight. He's now 13-8 on the season. 5 2/3 innings of 2-run baseball for Wacha. Also, continues to field his position so very well. Started a double play to finish off the third inning. And, kicked one over to Michael Garcia to get the first down in the fifth, taking 96 miles per hour off of the bottom of his cleat. Thankfully, off the bottom of his cleat. He's already broke his foot once this season, and Lord knows this team cannot afford to lose Michael Wacha. Now, as far as the patient approach, yeah, again, Vinny's just a good hitter. A good hitter that hits good pitching. Those are hard to find. Now, Vinny, at last check, he's still top 10 in the American League in RBIs. I know some people like to poo-poo the RBI statistic because it's dependent on others getting on base in front of you. You know who doesn't poo-poo the RBI stat? The men and women that are in the game. In the organization, on the coaching staff, in the dugout, on the diamond. Those people appreciate RBIs because they know when there's a stake out there, everyone lasers in that focus. Well, certainly the pitcher, the defense, the catcher. The same reason why those final three outs are so difficult to get for closers. Because you're getting the best at-bat that you're ever going to face. Right? That nine-hitter in the ninth inning's giving you all he has. And when there's a man in scoring position, you've seen Michael Wacha, Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans do it so often this season. Now, things might start slipping away from him, but when the game's on the line, when that man is 90 feet away from scoring a tying run, a game-winning run, those upper echelon pitchers are able to dial it in, rein in that focus, and execute at a high level. But, you know, I look at tonight's game and the first nine to the dish, all but two of them got to two strikes. You know, Adam Frazier laid down that bunt. I wasn't a big fan of it, but I'm trying to, you know, do the team thing. I guess, I don't know. I think Adam Frazier is going to give me a better plate appearance than the guys he's handing it off to in Michael Garcia and Kyle Isbell. No knock on them. It's, you know, Frazier, you're the vet, man. I trust you to find a hole just as much as I, or if not more than I trust Michael or Izzy to find that hole. But yeah, outside of that sack bunt, seven of the first nine to the dish. Got to two strikes. Yeah, Mason Black. Yeah, 20 pitches in the first, 19 in the second, 10 in the third, needed just 6 in the fourth. 16 in the fifth, and he did not finish the sixth. That's a combination of the kid executed and Royals. I don't know, man. I'm having a tough time dumping on the offense tonight too much because they were. And listen, I roll my eyes when I hear people say this too at times, but they were stinging it. I mean, there were quite a few instances tonight where I muttered to myself, boy, it is not the Royals' night. They were falling for the Giants, and they were finding gloves for the Royals. I'm not saying that you need to buy that. I'm not saying you need to believe me. I'm just giving you my opinion. If you think it sounds like an excuse, okay, whatever. I don't care. That's what I saw. I saw a team get shut out for 8 innings, yes. And sure, on occasion, guys were, like I mentioned, gripping it a little bit too tight. Again, I'll say what I said to open up the show. Yes, I understand. It feels, it does. Even for me, it feels like it's time to panic, and yet, it's not. Yes, if the offense performs like this in October, it will lead to an early exit. I agree. But it's not October. It's not. And Detroit lost, so the possibility of missing out on October, it's not time to panic about that either. So I know what it feels like, but that's just because we're in it, right? We're on the roller coaster. We're having a good time. We're living and dying. With every win, you feel like you're never going to lose again. With every loss, you feel like you're never going to win again. It feels like we should panic. But there's absolutely, in my opinion, no reason to panic. Said back up to Iowa, Josh in Cedar Rapids. You're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead. Hey, Josh, what's happening, Vern? Buddy?
How's it going?
All right.
I might have missed it, but you talked about Yuli. What do you think about moving him to the third spot and pushing Salvi back to the fourth?
Well, then you got four straight right-handers. Yeah, tough, man. I need a lefty. I'd really like a lefty in the front four. But go ahead. I'm not saying it's a crazy idea. It's just, boy, that's tough to really stack the righties at the top like that.
Yeah, and he's not hitting for a ton of power, but man, he can't move. He can't move. I can't believe they didn't pinch hit or pinch run for him. But in the end, it didn't matter. But my other thing was, no one's talking about the bullpen. They threw four shutout, or I guess they gave up one run, but they look solid. Zerpa looks all right. Cruz.
No, that run was on Waka. No, the bullpen tonight, 3 1/3 innings of 2-hit relief.
Yeah. And then the other thing I was going to say is everyone just needs to take a deep breath. All it's going to take is just one person to get one big hit, and I think it'll loosen everybody up. But until that happens, I think, like you said, they're just kind of gripping the bats too tight. Everyone just trying too hard, trying to be that one person to get the big hit. But I think, you know, throwing a wrench in the lineup, having Yuli at 3, pushing Sally back to the 4, I think it could be that step that makes everybody take a breath.
Well, there are no bad ideas. I'll tell you that right now. Nice hearing from you, Josh. Thanks, buddy. As far as the bullpen, tonight on Angel Zerpa, third appearance since returning from Omaha, I guess he's not the one that replaced James MacArthur. That was Stephen Cruz. But yeah, third appearance since returning for Angel Zerpa. They've all been scoreless. He has 6 strikeouts and 3 innings of work. And John Schreiber with his 6th straight scoreless appearance. Schreiber with 9 strikeouts across his last 5 2/3 innings of work. Let's go to Robbie in Overland Park. Robbie, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals fall in Game 1 of the Giants 2-1, the final score.
Hi, Vern. Third-time caller. Love listening to your show. I wanted to give you a shout-out for your toxic and problematic...
Hey. Man, don't you love those guys?
Oh, I love those guys. I've listened to them for 20 years, and
they're the best.
Could not believe when you got them or they got you on their show. And
I know
that was
that made my year. That may be my favorite moment of the year so far. Sitting down with Laszlo and Slim Fast on the Toxic and Problematic podcast. You hear the Church of Laszlo over on 98.9 The Rock. My favorite podcast. I listen to it every day.
Yeah, well, I listened to you and Laszlo talk about baseball, and one of the things that I want to emphasize that on, which a lot of people may not know, is Laszlo is a baseball, you know, aficionado.
Yes, yes.
With his, you know, his sons and everything.
Sure.
What do you... categorize the Royals this season inside
successful.
Of, you know, well, success and everything like that, but the jump they've made, and, you know, I know we've made all the trade deadlines and everything like that. What do you think of the future going forward if we can sustain spending this money and continue to do 1-2 year deals, and I'll listen off the air.
Yeah, Robbie, thanks for the phone call. And, you know, that actually came up when I was lucky enough to sit down with Laszlo and Slim because they made the point of, you know, how excited should Royals fans be moving forward? Because, yes, this season has been great. But can you really expect Seth Lugo to have a top 10 ERA next year? Now, Michael Wacha's likely going to leave in free agency. You know, can you really expect Salvi to duplicate this next year? I mean, how excited should Royals fans be about the future? And that's what you're basically asking, Robbie. And my response to Lotsy was the organization, the front office especially, that's what gives me hope, optimism, confidence, excitement about the future. That's 2 straight trade deadlines in which the Royals either took the gold medal, the silver medal, or the bronze medal, right? The Royals front office has now found itself on the medal stand in back-to-back trade deadlines, and I think it's fair to say they meddled in the offseason as well. Okay, maybe the Dodgers. You want to give the Dodgers the gold medal because they got Shohei Ohtani? Okay. Well, the Royals are taking home the silver with the signings of Waka, Lugo, Renfro, Sam Long. And I could go on and on and on. you know, if you're going to win in a market like this, Milwaukee or Tampa or Cleveland, you need to churn that talent. You need to win a majority of your trades and your waiver claims and your free agent signings. And it's not, all right, here's our team, kick our feet up, as you saw this year. Right, you bring in three arms at the deadline. You bring in a third baseman at the deadline. You bring in three bats after the deadline. Now, you walk into that clubhouse, and it's... Sure, the name, most of the names are the same as opening day, but boy, there is just an influx of new faces, new names, new vets, new attitudes, new excitement, new experiences. So what would give me confidence if I'm a Royals fan moving forward is the job done by J.J. Piccolo, Scott Sharp, and the rest of that front office, not to mention the job done by this newfangled pitching department. And Paul Gibson and Brian Sweeney and Zach Bove, Mitch Stetter and the rest. Look at what they've done from, you know, I mentioned Sam Long, right? Pitching Sam Long this offseason. We're the organization that can get the most out of you. Now look what this pitching department, look how much they've helped Michael Wacha. Michael Wacha's putting together the best season he's had in 7 years, right? Implements a new pitch because of this pitching department. Look what they've done with Cole Reagans. Say what you want about John Schreiber, James MacArthur, Angel Zerpa, take your pick, Chris Bubich, Daniel Lynch. I mean, we can go on and on and on. From where they were to where they are now, what they were 2 years ago to what they are now is a shining example of the 180 that this organization has done, both in the front office and in the pitching department. So those two things are what gives me confidence as a Royals fan moving forward that this isn't a hit it and quit it with the postseason. Now, this is going to last. This is going to be a nice relationship between October and Kansas City. Robbie, thanks for the phone call, pal. Let's go to Big T and Shawnee. Big T, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals dropped Game 1 to the Giants 2-1. Oh, and it looks like we lost Big T. How about Garrett in Olathe? Garrett, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my phone call, Vern. Look, I'm not panicked yet. I'm just kind of frustrated that I think I counted 18 called strikes on the Royals tonight, so I'm just a little bit frustrated that we're just looking at strikes and everything. But I have one question I'll listen off air. What do you think when the playoffs come around? Because I know that Daniel Lynch will obviously be in that bullpen, but what do you think about Daniel Lynch being the main setup man behind Lucas Erceg? I'll listen off air.
Well, what about Chris Bubich? What happened to Bubich? What has Bubich done
I mean, Bubich hasn't done anything to lose that spot, but I feel like Daniel Lynch has been, like, really good since he's been called up, and he's really not given up anything. He's really not had one bad outing, so that's why I'm just saying that's just a thought. I don't know what you would think.
No, it's not a bad thought. No, Garrett, I appreciate the phone call. Real quick, about the called strike thing, yeah, don't worry about that too much, especially when – you know, a few of them came in that ninth inning where I swear to God, if some of those guys would have swung at the first pitch, they should have been cut with the way that Duvall was throwing it. No, don't read too much into that. And yeah, man, hey. Well, you know what? Let me put it this. Lucas Erceg is the highest of leverage guy right now, right? Has anyone else earned anything? Now, Daniel Lynch is pitching very well for the past 3 weeks at the big league level. I'm with you. Chris Bubich is pitching well for the past, what, 4 or 5 weeks at the big league level. But let's not try, even though you guys have been doing this for a decade now, let's stop trying to recreate HDH. It's not happening. Right, HDH was formed in 2014. But it wasn't formed in 2014, right? Greg Holland went to the All-Star game in 2013. Kelvin Herrera was a horse in 2013 and in 2012. That's why those guys, this is your role. You are the eighth inning guy. You are the setup man. You are the seventh inning guy. Because look at what you've been doing for years, Kelvin. Greg. Oh, okay. Wade happened over the course of the 2014 season. He became that cyborg over the course of those 6 months. But HDH as a whole was years in the making. Urseg, fine. He's your top reliever. But to act as if anything has been earned outside of Urseg being your final boss, man, I have a tough time buying into that. Now, I'm excited for what Daniel Lynch and Chris Bubich and Sam Long and John Schreiber and Angel Zerpa, what these guys, you know, hopefully a Michael Lorenzen, an Alec Marsh, a Brady Singer. I'm excited to see what these guys can do in the bullpen in the wild card series. But no one has earned a role, a set role. It's the eighth inning. You know who's... No, I don't know who's coming in. Now, what's the matchup? What part of the lineup are we going up against? Nice to hear from you. Always nice hearing from you, Garrett. I appreciate it, buddy. Let's go to Rick in Olathe. Rick, you're next up on 96.5 The Fan. Go ahead.
Good evening, Vern.
Hello.
Like probably we're going to slide in the back door to get into the playoffs. I was just looking on television. Looks like Minnesota's only a game behind us, so they're right on our tail. But I did have a question. I know you're going to say that Hampson, you know, had a close foul ball tonight, but why as much as Vermeen as an on-base percentage? He's hitting almost 300. He has 6 or 7, maybe 8 home runs, and Hampson has none. Why do you not put a guy like him in there in the ninth inning when we need a big hit?
Well, again, I'm not making the decision, so I don't have the answer. Maybe it has something to do with you take him out, and now you're putting Dairon Blanco in center field in extra innings. Maybe it's because Freddie Vermeen really hasn't been going all that well of late. Freddie in the month of September is hitting .182. So, yeah, I mean, I would guess that's it right now. You know, Freddie's closer to – Freddie looks more to me like a guy that's gripping the bat tight more so than a guy like Garrett Hampson. I agree. I'm a big Freddie Vermeen fan. He came into September hitting .293, but again, you know, an OPS in the 400s. Freddie has not been good offensively for about 3 weeks now.
Well, let's get ourselves a win tomorrow because I know this sounds terrible, but the end of the season can't get here fast enough.
Yeah, I agree. No, I'm with you on that. Nice hearing from you, Rick.
Thanks.
Hey, they backdoor their way into the postseason. That's fine. They don't ask for your resume in October. They just want to see the invite. They just want to see that ticket punched. So just get there. And then everything is erased. MJ's batting average, Freddie Vermeen's OPS in September. You know, take your pick. You know, whatever statistic you like to hang over this team's head, they're all gone. Clean slate. 8 games away. Let's go to Justin in Oklahoma City. Justin, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Vern, thank you for taking my call, man. I always wait online to get on the phone with you. Okay, so I remember it was August 27th. I was getting off work, man. We just hit first place. We just beat Cleveland. And at the time, this is probably the worst time for the Royals to go on a 7-game losing streak and a 5-game losing streak. And that's what we're on right now. But I have to tell you, man, I've enjoyed this season. I'm a huge, huge fan of yours. I'm a huge fan of Kansas City Royals and Kansas City sports. And I'm here to the end, man. But I am definitely concerned because this is what I think. I think the bats, we didn't have any bats tonight. And when we have bats, the middle relievers and the rotational pitchers, we don't have those. It's like it's a hit and miss every night, you know.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, the caller before that just said one thing. Minnesota's one game, Detroit's two games. I'm hoping, and we're all hoping.
But they're the same. I mean, all these teams are the same. You know, I mean, Detroit doesn't have a rotation. The Twins' bullpen is shaky. The Twins' offense has been garbage for the same amount of time. The Royals' offense has been shaky. So, again, there is no perfect team. This is what Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball want, a bunch of slightly better than average teams fighting it out for a month in October.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and just tomorrow, like I said, I mean, like the caller said before, you know, we need to get that win tomorrow. It's getting pretty tight, you know. I've heard a lot of callers say they're not hitting the panic button. They're not hitting the panic button.
No, why
and,
would you? No need to.
I mean, I remember you saying, like, at least we have some, some September meaningful baseball to talk about. You know, I've been listening to you since the first of the season.
Yeah.
And that's what you talked about. You know, where the world is going to be this time of year. What are we going to be talking about?
Nobody
the world
saw this coming.
About the playoffs, you know,
yeah,
so.
Nobody saw this coming. Justin, nice hearing from you, buddy.
Thank you, brother.
All right, man. Yeah, nobody saw this coming. Now, maybe, well, okay. A week into the season, there was a caller that said the Royals will never be under 500 again. But even that, I don't think he was proclaiming that they will be postseason bound and 10 games above 500 with only 8 to play. Dan of KCK joins us on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals drop game 1 to the Giants. Dan, how you feeling, buddy? How do we lose Dan?
There. Just got to get that
go.
Thing. Hey,
go ahead,
hey, Josh,
sorry,
how you
man.
Doing? Yeah, I'm glad you could hear me. Yeah, it's a little frustrating, but they'll get it together, you know. Just got to get that big hit, and I'm glad Vinny's back. And I'll ask a favor, Josh. Remember 2014, Raul Albanis had that meeting in Chicago when the Royals were 50-50. It was a good meeting, you know. That's what Vinny needs to do, you know, just to get the guys all, you know, just say.
Well, here's
good
the thing,
team.
Dan, I appreciate the phone call. Let me address that real quick. First of all, Vinny's not back. I mean, he's around the guys, but he's not playing for anybody that just tuned in. The Raul Albanis speech in 2014 was huge. No doubt about it. This, in my opinion, this Royals team has been receiving the Raul Albanis speech since February. Hunter Renfroe and Adam Frazier and Garrett Hampson have been given that speech to the hitters. Michael Walken, Seth Lugo have been given that speech to Marsh and Singer and Reagans. Will Smith and Chris Stratton have been given that speech to the relief corps. So, you know what? Who knows? You know, maybe it is. You know, we had a caller earlier said that Salvi needs to scream at everybody. Maybe you're right. To me, they just need to get a hit. They just need to get a win. They just need to get to October. We're 8 games away, my friends. And tomorrow, game number 155 on the season. It's a 4:10 first pitch as Brady Singer squares off with a fellow right-hander that I've never heard of up until about 4 or 5 hours ago, Landon Roop. Boy, we'll see how he performs tomorrow. I don't want to say anything derogatory about the young man, especially when this Mason Black dude just carved you up for 5 2/3 innings of 4-hit baseball. So again, tomorrow, 4:10 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 3 o'clock as Brady Singer squares off with Landon Roop. I apologize to him if that's not how he pronounces his last name. I mean, you're about to hear the voice guy for 96.5 The Fan butcher my last name, so. Landon, I feel you, bud. But sometimes people just don't care. Well, I mean, I care. That's why I acknowledge it. Anyway, Blake Schneiders, thank you very much for the help back at the studio. Kansas City, I'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Take care. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Pasquantino smacks it deep to right field. His second home run of the game.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 96.5thefan.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.